Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love. Today we got a special Valentine's show with Sriram Kha and Kira Ra, who are two leader figures in the consciousness movement. I'm going to give a little introduction to them rather than my own introductory sound bite that I usually have. They're both founders of this 2012 Quantum Leap and One Heart Foundation. We'll be going into that today. And they're also authors of three best-selling books on the subject of 2012. You have a choice: 2012 Atlantean Revelations, 2012 Awakening, Choosing Spirituality, or Armageddon. And they're calling for individuals to intentionally participate in shaping the planet's future at this very vital crossroads. They've got an interesting background, and I think it's really good to hear that background. They have an amazing story. I guess they met online, and I'd love to go into that a little bit. And but their background is as professionals. Sriram Kha was a gifted psychotherapist and energy healer with postgraduate certifications in over 25 alternative healing modalities. In addition to operating a multidiscipline wellness center, he also taught medical intuition at the Stillpoint Institute, founded by internationally renowned medical intuitive and best-selling authors Carolyn Meese and Meredith Young Sowers. Now, Carolyn Meese is one of my favorite authors. I'd love to hear more about that. Perhaps we will today. Kira Ra underwent two near-death experiences that reinforced her otherworldly inclinations, and she's been acclaimed as a gifted clairvoyant and energy healer. Her access to the energies beyond form and to the wisdom of the archangelic realm, they both provided a foundation for the teaching she presents with her husband and partner Sriram Kha. Now, there's a powerful connection between these two that's produced an enormous body of work on spiritual growth, healing, and global transformation. Since 2002, they've written the best-selling book Sacred Union, The Journey Home, and the other four books I've mentioned on 2012, and have been featured on mainstream TV, given hundreds of radio interviews, acted as monthly columnists for a half dozen consciousness periodicals. They've headlined numerous consciousness expos and have developed and taught classes that empower people to rapidly heal from their issues and become healers in their own right. They travel the world speaking to thousands on the evolutionary perspective of 2012 Earth changes, self-ascension, the soul's mission of each being, and assisting others in claiming and reconnecting with their mastery. They have a highly rated weekly call-in radio show called Higher Love, and it receives thousands of letters and emails after just about every airing, which is amazing in itself. Since 2007, Sri and Kira have been interviewed for five documentaries currently in production. The pair has been featured on Good Morning America and Newsweek magazine. They currently reside in, I don't know how to pronounce it, Tajeras, New Mexico, where their TASA Center for Spiritual Enlightenment is headquartered, and where they also operate TASA Publishing and Avesa Quantum Healing Institute. Both Sri and Kira are ordained ministers. Together, they founded the Avesa Quantum Healing Institute to assist students to clear energetic blockages, increase clarity and discernment, heighten intuition and communication with higher dimensions of consciousness, and access healing energies. The two are currently engaged in offering their new STORM training, STORM, which is an acronym for Seeing the Oneness and Reclaiming Mastery. And it was presented for the first time in cities across the U.S., where they teach participants how to access the oneness and remain centered in the eye of the storm. It's one of my favorite metaphors, the all-seeing eye at the center of the hurricane. They are demonstrating thrival skills. I really like that rather than survival skills. Thrival skills throughout this dynamic period of energetic shift. I guess their intention is to bring people around the world together to celebrate, prepare for, unite, and usher in the coming new era. And for this purpose, Sri and Kira have created the 2012 Quantum Leap series of events beginning in Southern California on March 13th, 15th, Burbank Marriott Hotel and Convention Center. Chicago, they have one set for September 2009 and in Miami in January 2010. These are designed to amplify the positive energy through assembling leading authors, speakers, performers, artists, healers, and healing modalities and exhibitors under one roof. The public is invited to experience the energy of 2012 now while joining the powerful array of leaders in molding the planet's future, unlocking the mysteries of 2012, and embracing a new way of conscious living. And it's interesting that this is a nonprofit, the One Heart Foundation behind this, so the proceeds from the event, these events will assist Sri and Kira in its work to support children of spiritual lineage in Tibet and Guatemala. And there's more information on the Cosmic Love website for those who are watching this show. There's a lot of links there, and I give some introductory information. And I'm wondering, Kira and Sri, are you there?
We are here and just delighted to share this moment with you.
Good evening.
Good evening. Well, it's good to hear your voices.
Thank you, and yours too.
I'm really excited with what you're doing. I was really getting into putting together the web page and the links and the information. I think it's an amazing time. This day in particular, I think it's amazing that we could do the show on Valentine's Day.
You know, we've been smiling about that all week long. I just said to Sri, how beautiful a gift that the universe said on Valentine's Day, you must be with Cosmic Love. I thought it was perfect.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for helping that happen.
Absolutely. It's great.
Yeah. Well, the astrology psychology of this cosmic event was kind of interesting. I was tuning in this morning. I have a website link on the Cosmic Love webpage, and I don't know how many listeners are into astrology. Quite a few on Cosmic Love actually usually are, but there was an interesting creative triangle, a trine between the sun and the moon this morning, and there was sextiles with Pluto, which is kind of the focal point of this creative triangle.
Mm.
And some other aspects of it were interesting, really amazing, with Venus and sextile, this conjunction of Jupiter, the North Node, and Mars. Some people really appreciate this. Others, it's just mumbo-jumbo, but I really got into it. I've taught advanced astrology workshops, and I was really amazed. I've talked to several people today who are feeling some pretty amazing energy.
Yes.
But I'd like to think that this is the initiation of the Aquarian Age, and I know that so much of your work is about that.
Yes.
I would really like to know, quite honestly, how your background fused with all this synergy that's led you to do this work.
Well, thank you for asking such a beautiful question.
You know, I think all of us can chuckle that spirit keeps us on a need-to-know basis.
I love that.
and it's only when we start looking back that we can kind of connect the dots.
Mm-hmm.
Because both Kira and I started off in our adult lives in what could be called very conventional patterns.
Yeah.
You know, and I actually started out as an entrepreneur, and so did she.
Yeah, you know, I have to jump in here and share with you that as a child, I was very, very awake, living in New Jersey with a family that was so freaked out about my abilities. You know, I really chose to say, okay, I want to go in as dense as I can. And, you know, I used to get those lectures as a kid. You know how if the company was coming over, your mom or dad would pull you aside and say, now you behave. Well, my lecture would be, and don't tell them what their dead grandmother is saying. I mean, it made them crazy, you know, and then I would start talking about colors and, you know, angels, and my mother would send me to my room, and I would get these stern lectures so that, as Sri mentioned, you know, by the time I hit my adulthood, I just clammed up and became a quote-unquote drone. You know, I just said, okay, I need to bury this for a while.
That reminds me of the story of Elizabeth Clare Prophet, who was born in Red Bank, New Jersey.
She
grew up with the same kind of experience.
You know, why do we pick New Jersey? I mean, it was amazing to me.
What's that all about?
You know, that could be a whole show, couldn't it?
Well, I think it's the alien accent they have.
There you go. There you go. And so, you know, as Sri was mentioning, he was traversing the world, and, you know, Sri grew up just really as a provider, and, you know, getting into his entrepreneurial skills and moving forward?
You know, I think all of us are, you know, we have to bless our environment, our parents, our culture, because the rules of the family, the rules of the culture are there to keep us safe. They're designed to create a stability, to teach us to get along, you know.
Yeah.
And being good kids, we conform to the best we know how, and some of us don't, but but nonetheless, we all were reared in the same soup, and that soup has a certain predictable flavor until something happens where something happens inside and a person goes, now wait a minute, I don't quite feel right in this clothing. And I think all of us have some sort of aha moment where we look at it and we say, no, it's time to line up more truthfully, more authentically is the word we use. And for me, I was a businessman and I had a huge bankruptcy, and that for me brought me to my knees. And in the grace of that failure, I began to uncover who I really was.
Yeah.
And you know, stripping away all the money and bringing me into that dark night was a true gift.
Yeah.
And as I look back, had I banked lots of money and the rest of it, I probably would have never quite found my way.
In other words, that was your near-death experience.
That was my only it wasn't near. I was dying every day. You know, in the fear and the panic of it all.
Yeah, I've gone through several of those, actually.
Well, I love that you say that, because I always say that the universe, you know, I was so dense, the universe had to hit me twice, you know?
Yeah.
And what happened with me was, have you ever known people that run around saying, you know, I'm working myself to death? Have you ever heard that phrase?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I used to say that all the time until I literally
worked myself
to death.
Yeah, we get what we ask for, whether we know it or like it or not.
Exactly. And, you know, my mantra used to be, if I could just have a minute of peace. I remember thinking how great it was that I used to take off Sundays between 2 and 4, and that was literally my time off during the week. And what happened was, it was Christmas Eve day, December 24th, during the day. I was coming home from a business trip because I felt obligated to be home with my daughter on Christmas, and got off an airplane, passed out, woke up in a hospital, and they told me I was dying of cancer.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And it was very fascinating, because it was the first moment when everything from my childhood flooded back. I remember feeling like I was floating in there. Don't know why I said it, but I said, okay, I'm going home. It's Christmas.
So you did a life review.
Yeah, I did, but I didn't know I was. And then what happened was, I went home and I ignored it. I kept trying to work my way through it until a few months later, I wound up in a hospital on a surgery table and died. And I was clinically dead for over 4 minutes. And this poor young surgeon, this was a very young surgeon, and in hindsight, I smile so much realizing why so early in his career he had to have me, of all people. And this poor man, this defied everything he had learned in medical school. I should be brain damaged. I should not be able to have any motor skill function. You know, there was just no way I could be alive. And they had literally called a time of death when my body reanimated. And so it was an incredible gift, and as I share with so many people, I literally had to die to wake up. And in one way or another, we all go through that moment, and most of us go through it symbolically. We don't have to literally step out of our bodies. And for Sri and I, what we didn't realize, and certainly, I didn't meet Sri until many, many years later, and what we have now discovered was that I was being trained.
Oh, yeah,
learn.
You're being prepared.
Exactly.
When you were really precocious when you were younger.
Yes.
But there's something about the world that puts us to sleep, and you had to go through another wake-up call.
Exactly. And, what a gift. As I'm sure you're aware, there's a vibrancy that comes forward when we can gaze at everyone on the planet and see their limitlessness.
Well, I think the 2012 wake-up call, as the veil is thinning, to speak, that a lot of people are going through their inner child, inner family, inner culture issues. I mean, they're just popping to the surface like corks under the water.
Well said.
And that a lot of people are getting that sense, or having that sense of, well, they're losing time. They're losing their mind as they knew it, And they're having future memory. And a lot of people with near-death experiences have, it's one of my favorite books called Future Memory. I don't know if you're familiar with that one. it's amazing how many people are slipping the surly bounds of time and space these days.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's interesting because our culture doesn't have a context for this.
Yeah.
And I think that all of us just reflect back on what a wild month January was.
January 2009?
You know, just a month ago, it seemed like this year started out like a lion with energy and movement. And when that
really? The Obama thing has been so huge, and the expectations have been so high. Mm-hmm. And, of course, to catch that wave and ride that wave and build that wave, where it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy of good expectations rather than mismatched expectations.
Well, that's indeed an astute point, and it's in part why we're holding these conferences or these celebration events, because they're more than a conference. We're weaving music and art and co-creation into information. But what I want to underscore is that we, as a collective consciousness, need to infuse positive vision and healthy co-creative action into this shared field that we call our life experience, you know, into the morphogenic field.
And
you know.
Yeah, and you know, I've got to jump in here. Way back, it seems like way back now, but way back in 2004, when we released our first book on the 2012 subject, 2012 You Have a Choice, which is, you know, just keeps selling out and selling out, we introduced something that the Archangelic Realm had brought in called Ascension Acceleration Energy Experiences, or AAEs, and they're even listed free on our website now.
What was that acronym again?
It's AAE, and it stands for Ascension Acceleration Energy Experiences, and they started talking about, and there's a list of about 27 things, and you've been enumerating some of them during the show, which is why I'm smiling, because the Archangelic Realm came forward at that moment in history and said, these are the experiences that are going to start accelerating over the next 7 years on your planet, and that is going to bring forth the greatest opportunity for rapid and almost instantaneous enlightenment that has ever been possible on your planet.
Yep.
And it was things like, do you sleep the way you used to sleep?
Yep.
Headaches, random floating headaches, this sense of losing time or space, this presence of saying, you know what, I suddenly need to get rid of everything, maybe for no apparent reason, or leave a relationship I've been in for 20 years, even though it seems functional on the surface. And there's a whole list of them. And it's really interesting to me because over the past 5 years now, Sri and I have watched these, you know, quote-unquote symptoms or energy experiences really becoming rampant, and then
and like Sri says, there's no frame of reference for it to compute in our cultural context.
And unfortunately, people try to medicate it. They try to put the toothpaste back in the tube,
which
so to
makes
speak.
It worse.
Yeah,
you know, when in reality, all we need to do is drink more water, breathe more air, relax, and let our bodies purge out the old frequencies.
And to feel safe. And
you know, centering and connecting in that the heart of compassion and mind of God.
There you
and
go.
There you go. I mean,
It really, each of us is being called to lean into trust. And when I'm using the word trust deliberately, we need to trust our inner heart's knowing. We need to trust our divine guidance and let go of the old pictures in our head of how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I've been playing around with how to frame this understanding of something which is non-linear in a linear world.
Mm-hmm.
With the linear.
Let me know when you get that one figured out.
Well, I play around with it a lot. You know, the concept of understanding the power of love versus the love of power.
Beautiful.
And these are simple things, but I mean there's a lot of metaphors that kind of key into. You know, we appreciate the light that's coming in because of the density. And if it wasn't for the density, we'd take the light for granted. But at the same time, you know, the light shineth in the darkness, but the darkness comprehendeth it not.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these paradoxes and to the story around that understanding of the initiation that everyone's going through, you know, being in the world but not of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, this spherical consciousness that's truly spiritual. This non-linear spherical consciousness, which is like left brain, is right brain. The left
Correct.
Brain is like linear, lockstep letter of the law that killeth the spirit of the law, the right brain consciousness. And so how do you basically orient thought forms that are frames of reference for the circle, you know, the right brain spherical, spiritual you know, nonlinear consciousness, and left brain linear, logical, you know, L-O, and then the V, of course, is the synthesis of the two, and their thought forms, just like the law of the one, the two-in-one, and the three-in-one, the trinity, and then the four-in-one, which is sometimes referred to as the pyramid looking down on it, and the capstone as the most powerful thought form in the universe, and the key to the ascension of the planet. I had some different movements have got into that. Well, it's like Jungian psychology, the archetype of the fire, air, water, and earth, or the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical, and then...
Now, if you do enough of these, you're going to blow up the brain.
And
there we're going to find what we were looking for.
Well, I know if your mind's too open, the brain will fall out. You know, I know that's a...
And, you know, I the whole time you were speaking, I was just sending to you going, now take a deep breath and bring your hand to your heart. And when you do, you relax all of that beloved energy into every cell of your body, and then you just get to experience that gift rather than talk about it. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because this is the purpose of the gathering of amazing beings that we're bringing forward on March 13th through the 15th, is this opportunity to say, you know, we all can get together, we can collectively talk about everything, but it's like when Sri and I first got together, when we could just experience rather than try to understand, then you no longer need, you transcend everything.
Well, sure, and that sounds to me like a woman speaking, telling me to get in my heart.
Yeah.
But that's my woman speaking.
I was going mental on her.
You know, you were going mental on me. That's why I was just sitting here going, breathe.
And everything you shared is a gift.
Oh, awesome.
We've been given these brains in order to create maps of reality, or I'm going to use that with a lowercase r.
There
please
you go.
Do.
But, you know, the purpose of the brain is to keep us safe.
There you go.
It's to help us navigate this shared world we have. And
absolutely.
And when the energies change, you know, the old paradigms are indeed dissolving. And the ego, the brain, the personality, the inner child, all of these aspects that are really kind of grounded in the old paradigms
mm-hmm.
freak out.
Yeah. Well, I really believe we're going from a left-brain civilization on male practice or malpractice steroids, you know, war steroids, to a feminine energy, a more feminine, you know, more of a spherical, spiritual, you know, nurturing energy. I really believe that. That's part of the big shift into Aquarius.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I have to share, though, that, and part of that shift is to find the beloved balance of the two.
Yeah.
The sacred union. It's not about going from the masculine just to the feminine, because then we're just going from one to another.
The balance.
Exactly.
The checks and balance.
Yes.
I refer to it as the conditional love and the unconditional love. The
mm-hmm.
best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the conditions of the unconditional is those universal law language maps of consciousness that have been woven through all ancient and modern religious ritual structure, governmental constitutions, cultural, you know, motifs. I mean, these are the archetypes in the collective consciousness that Jung referred to.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what's interesting is the Jungian archetypes have their expression in the shamanic world as well. I was in Peru some years ago and working with this beautiful, beautiful elder who basically, in a nutshell, what he said to me, he touched his forehead and he said, Pacha Papa, meaning the father.
Yeah.
Then he touched his heart and he said, Pacha Mama, meaning the mother.
Wow, yeah.
And basically the message he was trying to convey to me in his K'iche language and, you know, working as best we could was that love and wisdom must be united in order to have a healthy, balanced world. And that's truly, you could say that wisdom is the male principle and the heart is the female principle.
Yep.
They must be woven together in a sacred union.
And that's when true power emerges. Power is not about the third chakra and seeking dominion over. Power is a unified principle that comes forward when we find our balance. And then our mere presence will free others to do the same.
I think that was the original meaning of as above, so below, on earth as in heaven.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
And there's also, you know, I love your quotes because I'm going to play with you. And when the inside becomes like the outside and the outside like the inside,
yeah,
you know, that's what we mean by authenticity. It's time to let there be the authentic being. No refractions, no games. Here's who we are.
And that's what self-ascension is. You know, Archangel Zadkiel, when Sri Ramka asked Archangel Zadkiel once, he said, well, talk to me about ascension. You know, everybody's talking about ascension. And Archangel Zadkiel laughed and laughed and laughed and said, ascension, you know, why are you so preoccupied with ascension when the key is how can you ascend back to that which you truly already are?
That's interesting.
And this is coming directly from the archangelic realm. And this is when Zadkiel came forward to us and said, empower self-ascension so that all may find divine remembrance without doubt. And then you are free. Because freedom will never be granted to you by a government. It will not be granted to you by your friends or your relatives or your social structure. Only you can create your freedom when you truly remember the gift that you are without doubt, you still have a body.
There you go. It's like the fearless faith versus faithless fear.
Yes, yes. Well said.
It's back to the love of power versus the power of love.
Yes.
But there's a problem with the duality aspect of it because then there's a sense of separation. When I say that, it's like polarity is like a law of two and one, mm-hmm. whereas duality is the divide and conquer. And, mm-hmm. and it's almost like you can talk about the same thing, but the state of mind one is in will interpret it totally different.
Well, you know, one of my favorite things, I have lots of favorite things that the archangelic realm loves to gift us. And, you know, all of that is on our website for free if anybody wanted to go dig some of it up. But one of my favorites is that they always share with us, you cannot play your way off the game board of density. The only way off of density is to lift your consciousness. And I like to describe that to people as going to 10,000 feet. In other words, you know, Sri and I were just in the Himalayas. We spent all of December on a sacred journey in India, in the high altitudes of the Himalayas up in Rishikesh. And what was really quite beautiful was to be in form, literally being the witness, you know, to sit there floating in the Himalayas. And then, you know, because so often we work with people to, you know, be the observer of your life, but be the observer from the cosmic perspective.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you begin to truly unwind what the brain wants you to know. And then a safety and an understanding and a peace comes into you that no one can shake.
Yeah, I think of it as the philosophic calm at the center of the hurricane.
Yeah.
Where pleasure, pain, loss, gain, fame, and shame are all the same.
I love it. So truly, you know, the words help convey a picture. And each being must find the meaning of those words
mm-hmm.
individually.
Yeah.
You know, we must.
Yeah.
And it is. It is as simple as bringing your hand to your heart, taking a few deep, conscious breaths, and letting the chaos, the movement around you, subside because you move to the center of that cyclone.
Exactly.
You know, it's amazing. The last, the lady, Janine Just, who was sentient, or this university she has in California with consciousness things, you know, a couple of weeks ago, she was talking, in the middle of the show, she said, now, Chris, get in your heart, take some deep breaths, put your hand over your heart.
Uh-huh. So you're being given a message, aren't you?
Well, my astrology, psychology, and momentum is so much in the mental quadrant. And and that's my strength and excess, of course. You know,
yeah,
you have
of course.
To balance it with... And I do, and I, you know, have different exercise and disciplines like water yoga and work on my water body and my emotional body.
Beautiful.
And of course, relationships with women have put me through plenty of initiations, raising four children, and children will do that. They become 3D projectors of your subconscious, you know, and then you see everything that you need to work on.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so women and children are powerful teachers.
Oh, big time. It doesn't get any better than that.
You know, as is all relationship, you know, and one of the things I love sharing with people is that, you know, we're here in our book, 2012, You Have a Choice, and also in 2012 Awakenings, our current book, we reveal these four sacred soul groups. You know, there's lots of talk and chatter about all the soul groups and how many soul groups. And the Archangelic Realm says we're at the time of reunification.
The four sacred soul groups.
Correct. And that these four sacred soul groups, and we, you know, give forth all this information about these groups, and we even have a chart. And what was fascinating to me when all this information came in about this reunification energy of the soul groups and about how these soul groups are finding each other and coming back together again was that for someone like myself who had had four bad marriages before Sri and I found each other, everything made sense the minute I realized what my soul group was and that I was reading like a laundry list of what this soul group does on this planet.
Uh-huh.
Until they find their actual beloved partner.
There you go.
Yeah, and so it was very freeing because, you know, I always share with those that are seeking, you know, I finally one day had to just say, okay, you know, obviously maybe I'm not a relationship kind of gal. You know, four bad marriages, this is just not working out. And then I had this huge aha moment. I remember taking inventory of myself, really sincerely taking inventory, really getting transparent, you know, really naked with myself. And my aha moment was that the only thing I had had in common with all these husbands was me. And that was this huge breakthrough of understanding and recognition and unveiling. And when these four sacred soul groups, when you read about all of the traits of the soul groups and what happens when one soul group is with another soul group and how they learn their lessons, you begin to understand why over the past 50 years, there's been a huge shift in the familial structures of our planet. And that the way we are being raised, the way we are together, is because we've been in such active search for reunion that the absolute opposite had to play out until this time in history. And we are in the great coagulation right now. I mean, it's the only way I can describe it.
Coherence?
Well, I call it coagulation.
But coherence is another way to describe the
Absolutely.
Energies that are resulting in these communities finding each other.
Because as we're already in the energy of 2012, you know, 2012 is not just going to click on one day in one year. We're already in it.
So the communities that are coagulating are these four soul groups?
Well, it's, yeah, and the entire planet is affected by it. Everyone is one of these four soul groups.
Now, are these four soul groups like the four archetypes, fire, water, earth, spiritual, mental, emotional, physical? Is there any pattern to these soul groups, or is it?
Well, okay, the archetypes are woven into consciousness. The soul groups are actually you could use the word a preference or a predilection to display in a certain way.
Uh-huh.
And just be, you know, the elementals could be used by any of the four groups, but they'd be used in different ways.
You mean like the sylphs, gnomes, fiery salamanders, and undines?
Well, I'm not an expert on those terminologies, so I'm not going to
speak. Those are kind of the four elemental kingdom components.
Let me offer you this. Prior to the 1900s, in the Western world, marriage and stable relationships were the norm. And as we got into somewhere out of the Leave It to Beaver, Ozzie and Harriet stage, the United States, you know, I remember being taken to church as a child, and the minister would talk about how the breakdown of the family was, you know, a terrible thing. And the whole idea of being divorced. Do you remember that kind of stigma?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and yet as we got...
I felt it.
Sure, yes.
But you just look at that one piece is what happened in our society between, say, 1950 and the year 1990 is suddenly now 50% of all marriages were practice runs.
Yeah. Well, that's where I developed that philosophy of pleasure, pain, loss, gain, fame, and shame are all the same. It was a matter of survival.
Right.
Well, what we've kind of, in retrospect and through our communions with the Archangelic Realm, can offer, here's a perspective, and the purpose of a perspective is to gain a discernment, that most relationships prior to the millennium were karmic relationships.
Now, hear this phraseology, because the phraseology is important.
Okay.
So instead of finding your soulmate, you were really finding a karmic mate, someone to work out or resolve an issue with.
And this is pre-millennium.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Y2K was upon us and people were storing water and food and fearing the breakdown of civilization and all that stuff, and they woke up the next morning and it was business as usual, what really happened? There was indeed an energetic pulse that happened that was not noticed by many people, and that what truly happened at the millennium had nothing to do with computers. It had to do with the karmic imperative.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about when you say pre-millennium, like soul incarnations back to Atlantis.
Well, no, I'm talking about the year 2000-2001 as the pivot transition.
Okay.
That basically, if you look at the last 8.5 years and compare them to the 90s, you're going to see that people move...
Oh, I see what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah. In the last 8 years, people have been moving in and out of relationships with greater speed. There has been more chaos and movement in all ways, from careers to geographical locations. And what we're seeing is that the karmic imperative was lifted, meaning the debts are forgiven. You are in a co-creative period. Now, do you really need to pay penance to what you did in a prior lifetime?
So let me jump in here, because this is a huge piece in our books, is that, and I remember getting some really nasty letters from some people who said to me, how dare you say the karmic imperative has been lifted? Well, A, we didn't say it. It was revealed information in a very powerful way. But here's the key, and here's why you would have strong reaction to it. What happened was we hit the next level of energy on our planet, which means basically Mother Earth came forward and said, you know what, you are old enough, it is time to move out.
Yeah.
You know, you guys have trampled me, you've taken a day, you know, you've borrowed money from me, you know, it's like, okay, how much longer do you want to live at home, and are you ready to be, you know, to be out there?
And so it's onwards and upwards.
Exactly. And so Gaia came forward, and look what's happened over the past 8.5 years. She is saying, okay, this is my turn now, it's Mom's turn, and we're being invited into a much greater sense of conscious responsibility. And so, of course, people are going to react, because, you know, sometimes being responsible and not having anyone to blame, especially not having karma to blame, can become really scary.
Yeah, so there's this thing of, I call, and this is the paradoxical, again, the judgment.
Sure.
And when I say we get what we ask for, whether we know it or like it or not, what the energetics on the 2012 timeline are basically doing is bringing to the surface our previous judgments, our habits of believing, thinking, feeling, and acting. And, you know, if you do what you've always done, you get what you've always got.
Mm-hmm.
But the judgment of that, when you become conscious of how you've been conscious unconsciously.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's right on.
And so there's this thing of where there's an awakening to individual and collective, and I think this is as much personal as it is collective and planetary.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, and the acceleration, you know, just to kind of tie this with a ribbon, so since the turn of the century, you know, you might look back and say a month is equivalent to a year.
Yeah.
In terms of the spiritual and energetic maturity opportunities, not everyone's taking the opportunity. And this is why we're seeing more chaos, acceleration, et cetera. It's that we're able to lift our vibrational rates such that the tenets or the agreements or the judgments of a prior time are no longer relevant.
And the gift is that you really are, you know, once you are awake, and this is why a lot of people, I always like to say, you know, that Matrix example, it's why a lot of people take the other pill and say, send me back.
Yeah.
Because once you're awake, then you're responsible.
Yeah, the principle is like biofeedback. Once you become conscious of that which is involuntary,
mm-hmm.
you not only will to control, you can't resist conscious control. That's a principle of biofeedback, and it's a principle that's going on with the Earth energetics that you can see through the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And the internet is what's happened is, as the rate of change has accelerated because of the internet. And of course, the reason it's accelerated is because of the instant, everywhere, interactive nature. There is no time or space anymore.
Exactly.
It's gone. I mean, and so as these social networks are networking at the speed of light, you might say, which is like the speed of consciousness, E equals mc squared. In other words, C is the symbol of light. It's also the symbol of consciousness. As you become conscious of how you're conscious, you approach the speed of light, and there's no time or space. And so that's where effective sensory perception comes in, not extrasensory perception, but it's effective sensory perception. I mean, once you've got it, there's nothing extra about it.
So where this brings us...
Pardon?
So where this brings us is that more than ever, people are screaming to feel safe. They're screaming to come together with others who are like-minded so they can share. There's people who are out there in horrid emotional pain.
Yeah, it's interesting that you said that. The screaming that's going on, there's a scripture that references that about people waking up in the end days to either eternal contempt, anger, fear, or eternal salvation. And the salvation is self-elevation. In other words, either you catch the wave and ride it, or you're struggling, on the surface as the wave goes over you.
Right.
And I think the wave, the analogy of emotion, the emotional body, energy in motion, the energy in motion is accelerating, the rate of change is accelerating, and the energy is coming in faster.
Very much so.
And so the only way to catch a wave is to lift your eyes.
Yeah.
You know? And so if you're only looking down at the deep ocean in paddling, you're more of a victim of the wave.
Yeah.
Whereas when we lift... When the way the angels say it is, keep your eyes on the divine.
At all times.
Yeah.
Look,
keep your eyes on the
divine. Look for the joy. Look for the love. Focus on what's emerging, not what's falling away.
That's interesting. Well, I used to be a body surfer. And you see these waves coming, and there's a way you catch them, and it's such a thrill when you catch it right.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
It's an elation.
And it's a wonderful metaphor for what we're all doing together.
Yeah.
Is that... as we look for what lifts us, as we look for what brings an essential harmony, then that's truly where we want to line up.
And, it's important, these synergies coming together, radio stations like BBS really doing this, because the pieces of our world, the energetics of our world that would seek to have us find fear and chaos are well-funded, well-anchored. And, case in point is... The Archangelic Realm came to Sri and I over a year ago and gave us the date for this event. And I can assure you, the last thing we thought we would be doing is be involved in a big event like this. I mean, truly.
Go.
I mean, it was just like, you've got to be kidding me.
Well, the way I look at it is I can't think of anything better to do. I go ahead.
Exactly. Exactly. And here's what's so prophetically beautiful about it. We recently found out, and you may already be aware of this, that in early summer... Sony Pictures is releasing a multi-million dollar blockbuster entitled 2012, which is their biggest end-of-the-world doomsday movie ever produced.
Interesting.
Now, what do you think that's going to do to consciousness?
Well, it's going to do two things. It's going to shock and numb some people into, the fear matrix. But
right.
It's going to other people, again, people are going to wake up to eternal fear, contempt, and people are going to wake up. A lot of people are going to wake up to the alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you appreciate the light because of the darkness. If it wasn't for the darkness, you'd take the light for granted.
And the wave of that energy has to be really firmly established in co-creative, synergistic, non-egoic community, and that's exactly what this event is doing. And what's fascinating here is that this event, because it is so unique, because nothing like it has been done before, is kind of freaking out the community. Because you realize that, we're going to step into feeling who we are, knowing who we are. We're not going to have to just talk about it. We're actually going to come together and really do something together that's going to send a pulse wave that we are here, that we are awake, that we are filled with recognition, that we have a very clear choice of what we want for our children and our children's children, and that it doesn't matter what density throws at us, those who, as you said, awaken to the greater will be able to find it easier because the wave of energy will be so much more accessible.
I get really excited with what you're doing because I know the path and process of ascension begins with pure intention, with focused attention on the path of the ascension, the process of the ascension. And this involving and evolving of an individual and collective consciousness of how we are conscious. And the first principle of this is when you look for love, with love,
mm-hmm.
it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes.
And then the second principle is the higher the concept of love, not just frequency and feeling, but form,
mm-hmm.
that are thought forms that, again, frame, involve, and evolve the language of consciousness itself, then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So
absolutely.
You've got these, there's a sequence of these principles, you know, pure attention, focused attention, evolutionary ascension, you know, whether self or civilization. And I see you guys doing that. I'm thrilled.
Well, what I love is that if you see us doing it, it's because you're doing it too. And
well, I can't think
gift.
Of anything better to do.
I agree wholeheartedly that we have this awesome gift of being divine mirrors for each other. And so anytime we see that in another, we have that moment to smile and go, oh, thank you for reminding me it's right here, too.
That's why I love BBS Radio, too.
Yeah,
I mean, it's really
exactly.
Cool how it's working.
Yes.
For everybody out there, there is another I want to add to your list of principles. Because, you know...
Because you can't resist.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, come on.
Please do.
Layer
the love.
Yeah.
We have bodies. We have history.
How fun.
We have jobs and beloveds and cars and debts and money. And we have all this stuff. Have mercy on yourself.
Yes.
That's the principle I want to add.
Have mercy.
Have mercy.
And the principle there is love is forgiving.
Absolutely.
Forgiving. The Holy Spirit is love in action.
Absolutely.
And so there's forgiving and then there's forgetting.
Yes.
To forgive.
Yes, yes.
and, you know, so part of this lifting process that we're calling self-ascension or ascension energies is the cleansing of doubt, fear, and all these other distortions.
Well, that's the Piscean Age misqualified energies.
Absolutely, yes, yes.
And our cells and our tissues are still carrying remnants.
Yeah.
So if stuff comes up, have mercy, bring the energy of love,
mm-hmm.
drink a glass of water, and say, this is not here to stay. It's an energy that's leaving.
And, you know, as part of this time transcendence is happening, as we've already discussed, as you've made so eloquently clear, you've got to let go of linear time right now.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to let go of it. Trying to hold on to linear time, you know, how many people do you know right now are completely frustrated because they now have to-do lists for the to-do list, and it's never getting done because they're trying to work inside linear time.
It's becoming more and more difficult for the world's structures, institutions, that largely no longer serve the purpose
exactly.
for which they were created. You know, like bailout of the banksters, by the banksters, and
right.
for the banksters.
Well, absolutely. And they're crumbling, and they're holding on for dear life. They don't know what to do. And so if you hold on as a being of divine presence, you know, and this is the one thing that I encourage everyone, remember that, you know, so many people write me and they say, you know, oh, my son is losing his way, or my husband doesn't understand, or my wife doesn't understand, or, oh, my God, my brother, my sister. And the reality is, unless they are seeking, unless they come to you and say, hey, help me understand what you found out, your words are meaningless. It's your presence that will inspire them to wake up.
Yeah, that's true. And it's difficult for people to, since they have no frame of reference for nonlinear time, it's kind of an abstract. So you have to almost story around or metaphorically massage, you know, the idea of the process of the alternative. And I have fun playing around with that. You know, rather than a bailout, we need to bail in. the bail-in of consciousness, by consciousness, and for consciousness.
Right on.
There you are.
There you are,
Instead of freaking out, freak in.
There we go.
Take that energy and find out what's inside of you, you know.
Yeah, the internet. And
well,
I think that's really actually what's happening. The true innocence. With all the outer world stuff, the inner sense that's innocent of the linear, and that inner sense is done. And in a sense, it is the frequency of holy compassion.
Very much so.
And how, I think the problem gets into when we try to frame that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's the problem all male practice or malpractice, is dealing with when the way they frame the spirit of the law,
mm-hmm.
and they get into man's law and you know, the linear, logical, lockstep letter of the law that killeth the spirit of the law. And it's these metaphors and understandings that there is a nonlinear spirit, which is the frequency, which is as infrequently, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like love in action.
Right.
And so whatever models culture, you know, this Holy Spirit of love in action, which is the conferences you're doing.
Yes.
You know, that
very
that
well
concept
said.
Of people coming together and engaging, again, a pure intention to focus attention, individually and collectively,
right.
on this process of evolutionary ascension. That's really exciting what you're doing. I'm just really grateful that you're doing it. It's inspiring just to, you know, to read about it and tune into it. And believe me, if I could, I would be there.
Well, you know, I was just going to say, you must have heard me, because I was sending you the subliminal going in, you better be there.
Yeah, I'm thinking, well, how can I do this now?
Yeah, well, you know what, I bet you could find out a way, because it's that important. I mean, I really want you to hear this. It is really that important for as many of us to come together in person as possible. And, you know, this is not an expo. This is not a fairy. This is not
got to be there. BBS Radio, I hope your listening Don is going to sponsor me so I can come back and report.
There we go. There we go. Because this is, you know, this is that moment. And, you know, one of the things I'm so excited about is that we have so many beautiful beings from all over the world who are coming, who said, I knew this was coming. I didn't know the form it would take.
Yeah.
And they're just coming.
Yeah.
And, you know, people who are registering and saying, I don't know why I registered. I just know I have to be there.
Yeah.
And, you know, even the
I believe in that synchronicity,
yeah.
you know, where there's just this, and there is this thing where there is a strong yearning for people that are awakening to connect with others of like spirit.
Exactly.
And it's really important at this time, because there is a multiplying, like a squaring of the number of people that are there in the force field that builds. It's
absolutely.
Really,
we activate each other. You know,
that's right.
We enhance each other.
And, you know, we wanted to, we thought, okay, how can we really say thank you to you for offering this beautiful gift of being on Cosmic Love on Valentine's Day? And what we did was, and we wanted to announce on your show, and it's on our website now, the 2012quantumleap.com website, is that it is so important for people to come as couples, as families, as friends, that we've said, you know what, we're just going to make all the tickets 2-for-1.
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 That's cool.
And so that's on the website now. They can go to the website, and even our packages, you can have 2 people come in on that package. And so, and if it's a package of 2, you can bring 4, you know, because it's that important to come as community.
Well, what a cool Valentine's Day gift.
And thank you for letting us announce it on your show.
Yeah. That's really sweet. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And we also heard, it was so cute, Archangel Zadkiel said, and continue this until 2+2, so we're going to keep it going till the 22nd of February.
Wow. That is really neat. Well, that's, you know, there's a whole sequencing of energy. There's an acceleration, I really believe, that's going on.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's what I call linking the light.
Mm-hmm.
People, and this is happening on the inner as well as the outer, that people are connecting with other people. It's like there's a resonant coherence subconsciously in the collective consciousness. One person wakes up, it triggers people that they have
exactly.
DNA, you know, astrological, psychological resonance with,
yes.
unconsciously, and then there's a conscious thing where people are saying, hey, have you heard about this? You know, and then there's linking of the light.
Yes.
And there's this concept of resonance and coherence and heart resonance with these frequencies that are coming in. A lot of people are feeling them, but they haven't found a way to express it, become conscious of what's going on, and the languaging of it is really important.
You're right.
Well, from the energy births new meaning and new words. And I want to share a fun little anecdote with you. Kira and I were doing a 4-day workshop a while back, and we're holding this love frequency. We're inviting people into this energy without, you know, in a very safe, beautiful way, through the breath and through the concepts, etc. And there was one fellow in the workshop that his arms were folded in front of his chest on day 1. We got to day 3, and he stood up, and he had a light in his eyes and a little tear in his eyes, and he turned around and looked at the group, and he said, I am the 100th monkey. And
we knew our work was done.
And it was so sweet and so powerful.
But it was so, if you could have been there, it was so emotionally beautiful and profound and sweet. And the whole group had been kind of like with him all weekend. And so it was really a moment of magic, to say the least.
Well, it's an interesting thing Dr. Scott Peck talks about that in community building. He's kind of one of the gurus of, you know, community building workshops.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about how when a community comes into real community, that typically right before that happens, it goes into a kind of chaos, which is what the world is in right now. And just before it comes into real community, this 100th monkey effect in the collective consciousness, there can be this dissonance, which is kind of like the resistance.
Right.
And it's in this matriculation of the matrix that's going on right now, the linking of the light and the people that are anchoring the light or you know, networking in the light. It's happening very quickly.
Yes.
You can see it happening, and you can see it's the divine destiny of, you know, of Earth's evolutions. And in the process, there's the thrill of catching that wave and riding the wave and building the wave. And like I said, I can't think of anything better to do.
Well, I agree.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
You know, and we might as well enjoy it, to engender joy into everything, to claim that frequency. Because truly, on the one hand, we're co-creating, and on the other hand, we're standing as witness.
And, you know, I have to jump in because I'm feeling some of your listeners, and I need to address what they're thinking right now. This is not a Pollyanna attitude. This is not saying, oh, just pretend everything's okay. We're not talking about that emotional joy that's codependent upon outside actions. What we're sharing is that when you can truly see the divine in every action and every expression, then you hold a peaceful joy that recognizes everything is in divine order.
Yeah. I think the joy flame is the signature that you're on path.
Yes.
It's the best feedback, yeah.
It is, bar none, the best feedback. I'm smiling. You know, I'm reminded when Sri and I, we opened a beautiful dome of divine protection at the behest of the Ascended Masters, December 17th, 2008, at Rishikesh, and we were literally standing. We went out into the middle of the Ganges because up at the headwaters there this time of year, it actually runs very low for a stretch. And as we were standing out there in the middle of the Ganges and all these people, I mean thousands of people start crowding around us, I'm smiling because I'm reminded of the sadhus that waited out to be with us, who live under a banyan tree on the banks of the Ganges at Rishikesh, and who were emanating so much joy in the recognition of just living a divine life.
Yeah.
And that's the gift. And it doesn't mean you have to give away everything. What it means is that you can empower that gift through your life, thereby freeing others to do the same.
Yep. Love in action.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And when love is in action, it has no expectation.
And that's the most potent form of activism. And I'm using that word tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
We've met so many people along the way who want to make positive change in the world, yet they're bringing the energy of anger and judgment into the change they're trying to make.
And we outline this on what we call the pyramid of spiritual awakening, and this is actually a kind of a refined rung from density consciousness.
Yeah, but what you've been sharing and what Kira is sharing is when we anchor in the heart, when we anchor in the joy, passionate action arises. And if you're called at that moment to serve someone who is in need of help in some way, it arises from the joy of service. It arises from the recognition that here I am.
And that's when you enter what we call ascension awareness versus spiritual activism, which does things out of a need for justice.
And I really believe that ascension awareness tunes into one's soul contract regarding the highest and best use of one's God-given gifts and talents.
Exactly.
And that awakening to, you know, the ascension, the highest and best ascension path for one's own soul purpose contract, I really believe that processes that, you know, attune to that, and there are ways to, you know, exercises and disciplines And I've been involved with that with different groups over the years to tune into that process. I think that's because a lot of people really want to know and part of it's know thyself.
Yeah.
You know, how, mm-hmm. Know thyself, and of course then the heal thyself, healthy self, heal thyself, follows from that self-awareness, which is the self-ascension.
Well, absolutely. And, this event, the 2012 Quantum Leap coming up March 13th, is a passionate action celebration. We're coming together in that energy. So imagine the co-creative potential of that coming together.
Yeah, I think that's really phenomenal. And we're going to have to do a wrap here, but I did want to direct people listening to the show to go to the Cosmic Level website to see the links and for the Sri Akira's website. And for this event that's coming up, there's graphics there, pictures, website links, phone numbers, information. So I wanted to thank you both very much for being on the show. I hope we can have you on again sometime soon.
Well, it would be our joy and our pleasure.
Oh,
thank
the time
you.
Has just gone by, and we've delighted in our sharing and our conversation with you.
I appreciate it so much, and I hope to get there somehow.
Well, we hope you do, too, so we're just going to hold presence
to
manifest.
We'll keep
that.
A light on for you.
There you go.
Well, thank you so much.
Much love to you and much gratitude.
Namaste.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Cosmic Love. We'll be back in 2 weeks with William Henry, and we'll take her from there.